Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you leave?
Welcome to another edition of Continue Mission. I'm your host, James McCormick. I wasn't on here last Friday. I'm dealing with COVID-19, so it got a hold of me pretty good, but I'm here. A lot of things to talk about. I just want to start this off with saying that right at this point in time, I'd like for us all to take a deep breath and think about those kids that were killed in Texas and those people that were killed in Buffalo and the people that seem to be killed every day. You turn on the news, somebody's taking a life, someone's hurting someone. But the murder of children is the worst of all. The destruction of innocence is absolutely, absolutely the worst of all. Now, there's no one else to kill or to fight because of that. There's a lot of questions that are unanswered. Police response time, number one in Texas. The gentleman that got a hold of the weapons, number two. The messages he put out on social media that people saw and responded to who did nothing. Number three. But above all things, parents that are mourning. One teacher was killed and her husband died a couple of days later of a heart attack. Death and destruction seems to be all that anyone wants to do. It's constantly about violence, hatred, violence, hatred, violence, hatred. Father Michael is not with us tonight. He is ill, so please keep him in your prayers as well. I just watched another disturbing report coming out of New York. You know, and a lot of people don't know this, but I lived in New York. And love the New York people. But New York, what you're seeing now with the violence on your subways, in your streets, it's kind of like what you were seeing in the 70s. Early 80s. That is until you got leadership in there that cracked down on the thugs. You see, why should we, the law-abiding citizens, always be the ones that carry the burden because of a few that cannot conduct themselves with a level of civility and decency? You see, as much as you scream and cry about peace and harmony and all of these things, and we pray for it every day, there is going to be evil and wicked, and it has multiplied greatly in the last 2 years, greatly. Look around you. We have sicknesses that's killing people. We have sick people that are killing people, and it's everywhere. I'm reading a report, and it's about little kids. It's about innocent lives snuffed out. Evil, wicked, demented, terrible fools. The Bible says be careful about calling someone a fool. For it is the fool that says there is no God. And when people conduct themselves like that, they are going against everything good and righteous that God has ever laid and established. Now, whether you believe in that or not, folks, whether you think that this is going to be a sermon, well, maybe it is a sermon that this world and this country needs. Now, Rich has done a lot of research on school shootings, taken a lot of notes, sent me a wonderful thing of all the school shootings. It goes way back, you know, historically, back into the, you know, murders in school. But they're really bad now. You know, you had the tragedy of Sandy Hook, and then you had the tragedy of the people saying, well, it never happened. You had the tragedy of the Holocaust. Then you have the tragedy even today of the people that say, it really didn't, wasn't that bad. Those that say it wasn't that bad, they should spend a week under those kind of conditions. If they could, they couldn't. I see a lot of critics about the police response time. I agree with that. Parents were pepper sprayed, handcuffed, beat down because they wanted to get into that school. I'll tell you what, you should have opened up the gates and opened up the doors and let every parent that was there rush this idiot and maybe would have killed him before he would have killed any of those kids. Evil shouldn't prosper. But that fool is dead. Not I judge his soul. But he goes before God with a lot of blood on his hands, to include killing his grandmother. And sent a message to somebody about that, by the way. Maybe you should have called the cops. Instead of tweeting, oh, wow, that's sick, or whatever. Bunch of morons. You see things like that, you should report it. But no, I'll tell you what will happen. You get on social media, you say something political, or you say, look, I want to have a prayer time, and then all the social media police come down on you. But if you get on there and you post ignorant, crazy things, and you tell, broadcast what you're going to do, they do nothing. The social media outlets that stuff went out on, that nothing was done, owes every one of those families at least $10 million each for each one of those kids. At least $10 million each. Maybe more. I can't put a money value on children. But I know that greedy, sick people hate to lose money. Especially when you're talking millions. So maybe it should be $100 million. And then maybe you'll get the message when you have to sell your home and your car and you don't get to live that life of luxury and your kids will get to go to public school. It's a sad time in America, and if you're not crying about it, or not feeling bad about it, then I don't know what else to tell you. I can go over many Bible verses where we should be pleasers of God rather than pleasers of men. So I'm not interested in pleasing anybody or making anybody feel good about being on here tonight. You might not like what we have to say, but there is an issue in America with violence, with mental health. And there's an issue with crazy, unstable people getting a hold of firearms. And anytime you say anything about it, you know, you're automatically labeled as a leftist and a liberal or whatever. And I'm none of those things. But a background check, anybody that doesn't want a background check has something to hide. If you don't want your background checked to make sure you're not a murderer, a mental health risk or something like that, then friends, you've got the problem. What do you stop being so paranoid? Yes, they do a background check. It's called a Nixie check. They go in and they see, well, there's no convictions here. But you really need to look at the mental health treatment. Every one of these clowns that do stuff like this have some sort of a mental health hang-up. You know, they used to put people like that in institutions where they would try to heal them. Now, I'm not a supporter of torture and putting mentally ill people, but I am a supporter of protecting the rest of the civilized population from crazy lunatics. And we've accepted everything under the sun. It's okay for you to do this, say this, feel this way. It's part of your rights, right? Let's go soft on crime in New York. Look what's going on in New York right now. I don't know why the cops didn't rush into that school. Maybe they were afraid of getting sued. Or maybe they were like some people that other people that I know. They just were afraid. I don't know. God will judge them, not me. For the rest of their life, they'll live with that. Some people say, well, that should be enough. I don't think that's enough. I think that, you know, there should have been some people of integrity, courage, that would have went to the wall, or in this case, went into the school. without question, without hesitation. Regardless of them getting killed, put yourself between the innocent and the wicked. Stand before the wicked ones. Matthew 10:28 says this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear men. Don't fear getting hurt because you're stepping in to do the right thing. You know, they say that a coward dies a million times in their life, or a thousand, but I'd say it's more like a million. Because every day they wake up, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done that. Don't be that person to say, I wish I would have done that. Get off of your fourth point of contact and move out. Or get the hell out of the way of those that will. And for God's sakes, some of those parents got treated worse than the criminal that was in there. I mean, he eventually got killed. But some of those parents trying to get to their kids. Rich has just sent me a message, and he's right, that scripture means nothing to a godless society. Scripture meant nothing to the godless demons that go forward and attack and destroy. The wicked ones that we faced in war. You see, they didn't have any care for scripture either. They understood two things. The end of the rifle or the end of the bayonet. Evil and wickedness is prevailing across the land because we allow it. And we cover it up with liberalism and this, these other crazy notions that we can somehow, you know, just throw all the guns in the ocean and everything will be okay. No, it won't. Because then only the evil and wicked ones will have guns. Go look at other societies that have done that. Nazi Germany did that. Okay, Stalin did that. All of the wicked dictators, they do that. Take all the guns away. No, just take them away from the sick, demented people and the criminals. How about that? Take them away from the sick and demented. There's nothing worse than a coward, folks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. There's nothing worse than a coward. There's nothing that I loathe more, and I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, cowardice is the most ugliest thing that anyone can display, and it's not funny. It's not something that they should embrace or that they should say is a good thing. We need good, godly men and women of action. Now it's too late. We've let this happen. And now you see all these politicians that are grandstanding. We've got to have a better gun control thing. I believe we need to have a better background check system. I do believe that. I really believe that. And I don't care what anybody thinks. It's not a liberal stance. It's a common sense stance. You know, I wouldn't just lay a gun out and let, you know, anybody just take off with two AR-15s and 350 rounds of ammunition. You know, we don't even do that with our soldiers in the military. You know that, right? They don't just carry around their rifles everywhere they go with ammo, right? You know, we control that in an arms room. We do that, all us veterans that are out there, you know that. So don't lie about it because it's the truth. We do. So we do have a gun control system. You check it in and check it out of the arms room, right? Right. You do. We have thousands of veterans out there that have been trained. Thousands. You know, whenever we were in Iraq, there was a civil affairs mission to protect the Iraqi school children, the routes that they were taking to go to school because of the insurgency. So part of our mission when we were on our route security element was to go by the school to make sure that kids weren't being shot or to make sure that there was a level of peace. It was called pacification operations. Why don't we do that now in America? Oh, I'm sure people would be real upset if you've seen the National Guard patrolling in front of schools. But if you put the people in the schools and you put the security on a serious level, then they will prevent things like this from happening. And they'll probably be able to influence kids to be better students and also stop some of the bullying and harassing that goes on. And who knows, all of the other things that could happen, the good things that could happen, the righteous things that could happen. You know, maybe that's what these ultra, you know, because when you talk to an ultra left winger about this, and I'll give you the ultra right winger's response too. The ultra left winger says, no, we don't want that. We don't want to militarize or sure, lock up the schools. Yeah, that's the problem. It is the problem. The guy snuck through an open back door. That is the problem. Lack of security. Snuck in, okay? It happened. Cops showed up. They waited 45 minutes until the federal agents went in. They said, oh, we're not waiting anymore. People should be getting fired today. Now. For that lack of response. You can't have a coward protecting other people. Cowards do not protect other people. And, you know, maybe in some of these communities they don't pay their police officers enough. I don't know. Maybe that was the case. And, you know, but you know what? That's a job that carries a lot of responsibility, and you need to have a lot of courage to be able to do that. I'm not saying that they're all like that. But there's whoever was in charge there sure gave the law enforcement community a very nasty black eye. Truth. Of course, I've seen soldiers not react as they should, hiding under trucks or whatever. I feel sorry for them now. They die the coward's death every day. They think about what they wish they would have done. They try to justify their actions, but ultimately they were cowards. They should have came forward. They should have done things. Some of them have accepted that responsibility, have apologized for that, have found faith in Jesus Christ. I hope that the others do the same. But trying to justify cowardice, the American people should never accept that. Never accept that, no matter what you do. Do not accept that. So the ultra-leftist decision is, take away all the guns and it won't happen. You take away all the guns, all of them. Okay. Number one, that's impossible. We have rules right now that say you can't carry a gun into a school. I guarantee you that there is a rule that says you couldn't carry a firearm in a school. That law did nothing to protect those children. Laws do nothing unless you put some teeth in them and some enforcement and some discipline measures that are going to protect our children. I don't even want to send my kids to school anymore because of this shit going on now. I'm just going to tell you, I'm sorry for the language, but it's just the truth. I've got two smaller kids still in school. You know, and I got to have a talk with them. If somebody comes in your school and starts shooting, here's what I need you to do. I need you to find cover. I need you to put as much stuff between you and them as possible. I need you to hide. I need you to grab your book bag. Put it in front of you. Get behind as much metal, as much wood, as many books, whatever you can get. Find the smallest crevice and hide in it. And lock the door. can't believe I'm having that talk with my kids. It's like talking to my two sons before they went to war. This is what you have to do. It's terrible that I'm a parent and now a grandparent, and we've got to have this talk with our kids and eventually with our grandkids because of the buffoonery that goes on in this country, because of the evil and the wickedness and the nastiness and the foul and the ugly, no good, worthless pieces of garbage out there that go out and do stuff like this. And y'all are bitching because there's some of us believe in a death penalty. That guy got the death penalty. Thank God somebody shot him and put that lame dog out of his misery, okay? But still, there's some of them that are alive that have done equally bad. No, I know. The eye for the eye and a tooth for the tooth is Old Testament. I get it. I get it. But let me tell you something. I talked to an old man one time, many years ago, who watched the last public execution in West Virginia, a man that was hung. And he said that had a profound effect on him, that every time he thought about doing wicked, he always remembered that man urinating down his leg as he was kicking and dying on the gallows. And I love how the liberals say, well, it doesn't affect. It had an effect on that man. He was probably 90 years old when he told that story. Go look it up. The last hanging in West Virginia, Ripley, West Virginia. Go look it up. And I talked to a guy that saw it. And his parents took him and said, this is what happens when people do these things. Don't do these things. And people went to church and people had discipline in the homes. And yes, you could take your gun to school and hunt. It's because you didn't have the lunacy. I mean, you every now and then you would have something crazy, but the massive scale of lunacy that's going on now and the violence and the hatred, it's all because we've become a godless society that just accepts everything. You can marry your damn dog if you want to now. Okay, you could stand up and you can say, well, I think I'm going to be a cockroach today. That's your right. You know, crazy, crazy. Anyways, I'm going to bring Rich on here because I'm just fired up and pissed off about the whole thing right now.
Right.
Yeah, okay, Rich. I'm done. I know you did some study on this school shooting, but, you know, I mean, it pisses me off, man. It really does that this is going on. Pisses me off, man. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, it just pisses you off, too. I'm sure it pisses a lot of people off, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of used to it. The thing is, you have got to separate your emotions from this if you want to solve the problem. You just went on an emotional rant, and you're just blaming everybody, okay? And as I listen to, like, Beto O'Rourke, okay, I mean, keep in mind, the left has always had an agenda, and every time never let a good crisis go to waste. Every time we have a mass shooting, ban the gun. In fact, I heard one of the congresswomen, you know, from the after the, I think, the Buffalo shooting, ban the AR-15. I'm like, wasn't even used in that shooting. I mean, they have an agenda. In fact, just accept it. The agenda of the left is to ban all guns. That's their agenda. And so when something like this happens, you know, they play on everybody's emotions, and everybody, like, you are a victim of that too. You got emotional, and because you get emotional, you look, as a fighter, you've got to stay. The hardest thing in a fight is to stay calm and relaxed, and it takes a lot of training to be able to do that because of all the stress that's going on. And I was watching some YouTube videos about, you know, best martial arts for evaluation of best martial arts for self-defense, okay, and or police training. And one of the things that the police, you know, like for example, the police are now training in the room I teach Aikido because they're using my mat. All right. And when I went in to visit with them and talk to them about laying out the mats and stuff like that, I realized, you know, a lot of police academies, they teach, you know, Aikido submissions, but many of them have gone into BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And one police officer explained it. He said, because the rolling, when they say rolling, that's grappling. That's in there. You're just trying to submit somebody. He said, but it's the pressure you put the student through that, you know, replicates that kind of stress that you're going to be in a confrontational situation. And so the more you train for that, like I say, and you know, I don't, the combative training the Army teaches is really just going to get you hurt. Okay. BJJ is not a good a martial art to learn to go into combat. But any martial art is better than no martial art because it teaches you not to be a victim. All right. So the police do this to try to put them under the stress so that when they get in that situation, they can remain calm. And why is it you want to remain calm? Because you start seeing openings. You see things. And here we are, everybody is getting emotional, and they're all falling to their agendas. And the right has an agenda. I mean, the left, anytime there is a mass shooting, the left proposed this is the opportunity, and they got to move fast. They got to tap into that emotion. We have to do something. Because here's the problem. No one wants to feel helpless. Because we sit here, because what I'm going to go through is explain to you, we can't stop this, okay? Not the way we're going about it, because nobody's addressing the real problem. I've been texting you on it, but nobody's been addressing the real problem. It's like a doctor trying to treat symptoms and not treating the disease. And that's what I want to get to, is what is the disease in America? Why are Americans killing kids? Okay, sure. They're not doing that in Europe. They're not doing that in Europe. Oh, they'll wipe out a minority. They don't have a problem with that. Okay, but I mean, in not just I'm not making or Europe not now. They don't do it now. They did it in World War II, but we have the Chinese, you know, trying to eliminate a minority. But so why everybody's asking that question. Why are there so many school shootings in America? Okay. Well, the obvious answer is guns. Okay. So we got to eliminate the guns. So as you pointed out, I have done a study on this. Hey, guys, all right. You want to look it up. There are lists of all the school shootings. Just type in list of all school shootings or history of all school shootings. Wikipedia has it. There have been, school shootings since before the Civil War, since 1850, okay? They were having school shootings with black powder, cap and ball pistols. The vast majority of school shootings are revenge-inspired. Somebody, like shooting a teacher, shooting a professor who crossed them, kicked them out of school, flunked them, a bullying, girlfriend. When you go through the list, you look over and you go, like, how many people were killed or wounded? And if it's like 1 to 3, that's revenge-based, okay? And you want to know what the preferred weapon for a school shooting is? The handgun. whether it's a black powder handgun or it's whatever, it's a handgun. The handgun is the most preferred weapon for school shooting. All right. Now, when you see the list, it's so lengthy. All right. Again, it's one-on-one. It's usually they're targeting individuals. So we really want to narrow this study down to mass shootings. James, what do you think the first mass school shooting was?
Well, I was reading that list, and some of those went all the way back to the early 1800s, so I don't know.
Those were the one-on-ones. Those were the one-on-ones. So when I say a mass shooting, I'm usually talking about more than three, okay?
I know there was one in Charleston, West Virginia, years ago, but go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So because, again, you got to remember, the agenda of the left is to suppress the freedom, the free speech of any opposition, okay? They first did it with political correctness, and then they shifted to after Trump won and everybody realized that freedom of speech was
equal. Hey, look, man, it's the Communist Manifesto. It is the Communist Manifesto.
Well, it is. It is. Yeah, there's a hidden agenda there. But anyway, and now, you know, if you look at it with the January 6th, again, they're trying – look what they did to Trump. They're again, they're suppressing any opposition. I just say that because I said they're attacking two constitutional rights. Okay. So leaving that, Second Amendment has always been on their target list. Always. Okay. So when you sit there and you start, you know, and you're feeling vulnerable, you're going, we got to do something. That's the most common thing. We got to do something. Here's their chance to push the thing agenda is. Read their Second Amendment policy. It's exactly the same. It's a cut and paste thing. So anytime there's a mass shooting, boom, here's our chance. And they got to move while the emotions are hot. And what the Republican agenda is to preserve it so well that no one's willing to compromise on anything, okay? And all the Republicans have to do is delay. And the tactic they've got right, their strategy they have right now is, okay, we'll talk. We're willing to talk, lead you into this compromise. And then you find out talking ain't going to lead to nothing, okay? We're not going to pass any bills, right? So both the right and the left have an agenda. Okay, now, so let's look at, because right now, the weapon they want to ban is the AR-15, all right? Why does anyone need a military assault weapon? Well, it's the most popular recreational firearm out there. Now, when I say we're talking recreational shooting, okay? If you're not... Look, I had a conversation, and here's the problem. If you're not a gun owner, you're one of those, there are people out there who literally fear the gun. The gun, I mean, I've seen them say it, I've debated with them. The gun is designed to do one thing, kill. Now, cars kill more people than guns. But they're going to say, but the car is not designed to kill more people. Well, why does it kill more people? The gun is not designed. Not all guns are designed to kill. You know, James, you're a hunter. Well, yeah, that's killing, but it's killing animals for food. How many deer do you kill every year?
Well, we used to about five or six, but not that. We don't do that now. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. I hunted rabbits. I hunted squirrels. Okay. Yeah. There's that. There's recreational shooting. There's, when we say recreational shooting, that's target shooting. As a kid, you know, for me to put holes through a paper target is not fun. Okay. That's how most, because out here on the East Coast, you know, about the only shooting I get to do is indoor range. My daughter loves it, but I'm used to going out and hitting things that either explode or move, you know, shooting cans
right.
and shooting jars, okay? Yeah, I want to see something either shatter, bounce, okay? And so you have recreational shooting, trap, you know, or skeet, you know, shooting that. There's a whole lot of categories. Most weapons are designed for recreational shooting. I collect weapons that are designed to kill people. I'm a military antique collector, so all my weapons were designed to kill. They're military firearms. I have very few civilian firearms. Okay, mm-hmm. I do have one pistol that has six notches in it. It was a gunfighter's pistol. All right. But I also have a samurai sword that has enough nicks on it. You can see this was used in several duels and it can alight. So there's a whole lot of categories for it. The thing is the original Colt AR-15, actually Sporter model, I think it was SP-15, was popular. All right. Most of the early shootings with the assault rifle were the foreign-made weapons. And when we get into the federal assault ban, it was targeting those weapons, okay? The AR-15 has become the most popular of recreational firearms because when the Army went to the M4 design with the rail system,
mm-hmm.
You could start adding all kinds of things to it. You can put a front.
Sure.
You can start putting laser scopes on it. It is, you can customize that weapon. You can adapt any kind of buttstock you want to it, all kinds of barrels you want. If you're firing, we talk about marksmanship. You want a heavy barrel? Yeah, you can put that. Or you want a light barrel, different kinds of flash hiders, but the thing is, you can customize that weapon to your specific desires for shooting. That's why the AR-15 is so popular. Not because, well, there's probably some people who say, yeah, it looks cool, looks military.
Looks
yeah,
cool, yeah,
we get the wannabe. Yeah, we get the, we know about the wannabe. But the vast, like my daughter, you know, my dad taught me to shoot. You know, I taught my kids to shoot, and my daughter loves recreational shooting. Okay, she just enjoys putting little holes in targets. And then, of course, she's with dad, and we're out there shooting, and who's got the tightest shot group, okay? When I went to reunion of Alpha 29 Infantry, we were out at the ranch of one of my former soldiers. And, of course, you know, he had miles of backyard. He had his own range set up. And we're there. Oh, the thing I love now is for when I go out, you know, I go out to somebody's farm and he's got those metal discs. You hit them, you can hear a ring, and you see the thing move, right? So, yeah,
right.
That's the kind of shooting I like. Well, of course, you know, everybody's driving brought their firearm, loaded up with ammo. And so the old company commander gets up there with a 9mm, and I outshot everybody. I'm sitting there, pop, pop, pop. I hit 11 out of 15, okay? And I'm just having fun. And one of my, I think it's Brian Bigelow, who goes, sir, you just hit 11. I said, well, how does that compare to everybody else? He said, you outshot everybody. I'm like, well, I still got it, all right? That's fun. That's recreational shooting, okay?
Right.
The thing is, there are people out there who fear the gun, feel it's only designed for one thing, to kill. And the idea of a bunch of men with alcohol and with lots of guns and ammunition out there, somebody's going to get shot. It's inevitable. And I had a conversation like that because I was talking about how my my son came in, you know, he's going out, you know, his buddies were, they're going out to some farm.
Right.
And he's load, you know, they had plenty of ammo and they're loading up. And he's, you know, he comes in and he goes like, you know, I got 45 ammo, ACP. Do you have anything shoots it? I said, yeah, here. And I just built another M16 clone. And I'm like, here, I need you to test fire this thing for me. Okay, here's the ammo. And my, you know, and the thing is, the people I was talking to were like, someone could have got killed. Got, no, everybody knew gun safety. I mean, this is how I did it as a kid. I mean, I was a teenager. All these kids are 18 and old. They're over 18. I said, I was a teenager. We'd load up with guns and ammo, get in somebody's car, drive out. But everybody knew gun safety. But it didn't matter. You know, I said, I taught my son. I taught everybody else. I said, all of them knew it. And I'm like, but in their mind, that weapon is designed to kill. Somebody is going to shoot somebody. There is an irrational fear among people who have no experience with guns. And you get in a debate, you get in a discussion with them, you can't discuss because they can't comprehend what you're talking about. They see all weapons as one category. Confirm that. All right. I don't think there's any conversation you can have with someone who's anti-gun until they go out and shoot. If they go out and shoot, a lot of them will be converted. All right. Now, here's the reality. No gun legislation is going to get passed. If it is, if anything, it's going to be superficial. It'll just be, look, thank God for Senator Joe Manchin. He is not going to pass any gun control laws, all right? Or he will no longer be the senator from West Virginia, okay?
Right.
Okay. So, hey, and everybody points out to him, but what is, I forgot the name of the senator from Arizona, the Democratic senator. I don't think he's going to pass a gun control bill. So anything that could possibly get through the House is not going to get through the Senate. So there's not going to be any gun control. Look, Biden was all for that. Remember, he's all against the angry 14, right? AR-14, okay? He can't get, no one can get guns. So nothing, all right, for listeners out there, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah,
nothing's going
to
happen.
What I'd like to focus on is you know, and obviously, you know, there is an agenda. Everybody knows that. But,
right.
You know, honestly, let's just break this down. What additional law could have prevented this shooting in Texas? What law could have prevented this shooting in Texas? In your opinion,
none.
Exactly.
There's already a law
to not bring a gun in the school.
All right. I can tell you, the only law, the only way you could have prevented that shooting, when it comes to firearms, is to ban and confiscate all firearms. All right.
I don't even think that.
So now let me go back to the history of mass school shootings.
Okay.
The first mass shooting was the Tower Massacre in 1966. The weapon of choice was a high-power deer hunting rifle, bolt action. And that mass shooting was followed by two or three more copycat shootings. Mm-hmm. In one case, a woman, now all of them were crazy. All of them were listed as insane, and they didn't go to prison. They went to mental institutions. That's how insane they were. But one, I think it was one woman, sat across the street and started picking off kids in the schoolyard. So the weapon of choice was high power hunting rifle. Then in 1988. And that was within a couple of years. That I think just like there was a couple in following that one and then one the next year. Then in 1988, we had our next mass school shooting, okay? Now, I I'm trying to remember what the weapon of choice was. Oh, pistol. Pistol. All right. And the next school, okay, 1988, the next one. Okay, 2 killed, 9 wounded. The next one, Stockton, was the next year was 6 killed, 32, a semi-automatic weapon. Okay, and then 1992, Lyndhurst, shotgun and a 22, shotgun and a 22. Okay, and now what happened is because let's see which one was the first. Okay, so you had a semi-auto. But anyway, I think it was that, and there was the shooting in a McDonald's with an AK-47, and so that's when it was 1994. They came up with the federal assault weapons ban. Okay, go to Wikipedia and look up and read about the federal assault weapons ban. And as you read through there, first of all, it turns out, I mean, we're talking banning magazines over 10 rounds, okay? But most of the, now keep in mind, the ban focused on foreign imports. It did not ban American-made assault weapons, and it was during this time frame. It was a 10-year ban, 1994 to 2004. The most popular, the Colt AR-15, is still not on the popular list. The most popular weapon during that time frame was the Ruger Mini 14, okay, which fired a 22 round, okay. But I think there might have only been one mass shooting with that. And still, so we're talking an assault weapons ban. Now, what it didn't do, all it did was ban the import of these weapons. It banned the manufacture of any magazine, high-capacity magazine, any magazine over 10 rounds. But it grandfathered everything else. So if you already had any of these foreign weapons, oh, I'll tell you the big popular one in the 80s was the Uzi. Everybody wanted the Uzi, a 9mm Uzi, okay? And then after that, it was the Ruger Mini 14, okay? Well, the thing is, it did it, and it will list all those studies. Most of the studies, only one study contradicted it, but most of the studies said the assault weapons ban did not reduce murders or even mass shootings.
No, okay? It doesn't.
And keep in mind, when you go back and you read the list and you look at the weapon, and if you can go in and research each one of these shootings, not all those shootings were done with assault weapons. They were, a lot of the shootings, the mass shootings, were done with pistols and shotguns. And one of the most horrific shootings during the period of the assault weapons ban was a Columbine shooting, and they had two assault weapons, a little machine gun pistol, and forgot what the semi-auto rifle was. And I think they were both foreign made, but they're pre-ban, and they had high capacity magazines, but they also had shotguns and pistols. They went armed to the teeth. All right, so. The assault weapons, the studies show, the majority of studies show, the assault weapons ban did not reduce shootings, okay? Now, so the ban expired in 2004, and school shootings take off.
Yeah.
Okay? You could draw the conclusion. You're going, oh, so we lift the assault weapons ban, and all of a sudden, everybody, you know, there's more, you know, that ban leads to more shootings. No, because most of the shootings were not done, the school shootings, with assault weapons, with shotguns and handguns. And what I'm trying to tell everybody is, you think banning an assault weapon is going to prevent school shootings? It's not. Okay? You're just going to force them to pick another weapon. Remember, the first school shootings were high-power hunting rifles. The worst thing to get shot with is a shotgun, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, people are going to say, well, the high-capacity magazine. Sandy Hook, that's one of those cases where, yeah, in a person went in with a, you know, and was able to kill a lot of people in a short amount of time because he had a high-capacity magazine. All right. Now, the shooting that just took place and cated himself in that room for, what, an hour? It didn't matter what weapon he had. He had an hour to kill everybody. Okay?
Damn,
there
is
no, there is no law. I mean, one of the problems is, you know, we hire, let's just look at this. We have several cases in Florida and in Texas, we don't know the full details yet. But there were two police officers there. They were shot, but they did not stop the shooter. Okay, this is Texas. I don't know what the problem is. I figure you know how to shoot. Okay, so and then that's whenever they were wounded, and they stayed outside. The kid barricaded himself in the room, and they were. They were shot several times, and they're outside the door. They don't enter, and they probably have very good reason not to enter. And I text you while you were ranting about the police and stuff like this. We're probably looking at this the wrong way. This officer I've ever talked to, his goal, his number one goal, is to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah,
he's not looking to get unnecessary risk.
Maybe they need to change their goals.
Well, no. You're hiring the wrong people. There is a group of people out there who are designed, who are trained and mentally prepared to risk their life to save another person's life. Who are they?
Veterans, soldiers.
Veterans, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Well,
what I'm saying is, hey.
Yeah, most of them. Now, I mean, you know, you can't put that guarantee on that because, you know.
No, that's
true. I mean, look, you know, there is, listen. You know, you call it ranting. I call it exposing the facts. The facts are, you know, I mean, we've seen the videos. We know that it happened. We know that they waited far too long to go in there. You know, and I'm just going to just tell you this, that had the doors would have just been opened and everybody could have rushed it, they would have killed that boy before he would have done all that damage. I'm just telling you, it's, now, there would have been some parents that would have been killed, but I think that they would have rather taken the place of their child. A good parent would, you know what I mean? And the fact that we had that occur, and even other police officers, the federal agents, are saying, yeah, that's what happened. You know, that makes me sit back and say, well, there is a problem here. So, and the problem, is it cowardice? You know, that's the only thing I can say. And, you know, I loathe the coward. You know, I hate a coward worse than anything because a coward will get you killed quicker than anybody else. And
well,
I can tell you, it makes me sick.
No, that is really all those police officers cowards. Their
some
motivation is different. No,
some
no,
of them were.
I'm going to tell you, you don't know. They may have been, but you don't know. The first two police officers took rounds and stayed their ground. They didn't enter. They react the way they're trained. They react the way their motivation is. A soldier's motivation is different. You're comparing a police officer to a combat veteran.
Their motto is to protect and serve. Protect and serve. You're not protected.
But you want to go home at the end of the day. A soldier
knows. I would rather have died than to live as a coward.
That's because you are a combat veteran. Combat veteran knows that there's no greater love than a man who's going to risk his life for another, man, okay, or woman for that.
It's biblical.
And we have.
It's biblical. Yeah.
All right. It is. But that is not the training of a police officer. That is not their psyche, okay? See, when you went into combat, like when you're up there on that wall, all the times you go into battle, you know you're about to die. And if you think about it, you will hesitate. If you hesitate, you're pretty much going to die or someone else is going to die. And so you have, the combat vest will tell you that the sooner you accept the fact that you are already dead, you can now start performing correctly. So instead, you're not questioning should I do this or should I do that? You only warriors ask one question. What is the right thing to do? That's your training. In our business, people are going to die. And it doesn't have anything to do with how good you are. If you ask a veteran, if you have to choose between being lucky and good, which one do you choose? Being lucky, okay? So anyway, so I think it's a little unfair to make the accusations of cowardice to the police officers. They're reacting the way they're trained. There are a lot of mistakes that were made. But basically, this guy has, I mean, other than that statement on social media, there are some false things out there. Like he had been arrested for saying he was going to be in shooting a couple of years ago. No, that was two other kids. This kid has not any radar screens. I don't think there's anything else. There's no red flag law that would have caught. I don't think there's any law that you could have passed that could have prevented that guy from doing that shooting, unless you're going to say, he shouldn't have been able to buy a gun at 18. He's an adult.
Yeah.
In fact, Nancy Pelosi thinks 16-year-olds are responsible enough that they should be able to vote.
Yeah.
They Tide Pods, okay, all right?
Yeah.
And, he just wants their – look, I'll tell you this. The left and the right, they'll do whatever they want to get votes.
Well, okay. Yeah, but
that's,
here's the thing.
They're not interested. Go ahead.
What I want to know is, anybody – no matter what you say right now, you're going to be attacked. I've been reading some of the responses, and some of the responses from, politicians kind of make sense, like securing the schools. That makes sense.
No, that's okay. A fact. Yeah.
Now,
see,
they're attacked for that.
Oh, no,
this is the dumbest thing you could have ever said, secure the schools. Well, it's a gun problem. No.
Oh, yeah, no, I told you. Look, the anti-gun people, this is their agenda. So every time there is a shooting, they're going to come up and push their agenda. It's always been their agenda. So You can't talk to these guys. There's no
–
first of all, when I did
Read
have a – I'm going to go back over it again. When I did have a conversation with them, I couldn't comprehend their logic. I'm explaining this stuff, and it's on the drive. It was afterwards I thought about it and realized they really fear the gun. They really believe a gun has one purpose, to kill, and there's no reason anybody should be able to own a gun. There's no talking to people like that, okay? So ignore those comments. But when we're talking about it, you look at there's so many laws on the books that and how many laws did this guy violate? He violated one.
Yeah.
He took a gun onto a campus. Well, that law didn't work, okay? And he legally bought it.
That's the problem.
But when you talk about
no,
let's go back to Hart.
That's
what we have to do.
If you would have had
this school.
All schools should be secured better. I'm just
– Yes.
It scares the bejesus out of me sending my kids to school now because of all of this nonsense. And it's like, I've got to tell my kids how to find,
James,
cover,
is your school, are you sending your kids to an unsecure school?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to bring a buzzer to get in the door, but, you know, I mean, we have a resource officer at one of the schools.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and we have a really good chief of police here that I know would not stand outside, you know, if somebody was hurting those kids. You know, I mean, and it's just, but, you know, it's still spooky, man. I mean, doors are locked. I think that they do the best that they can. But there's nothing like putting somebody up on that roof or somebody in that doorway. You know, I'm for putting the National Guard patrolling around these places, man. I'm just telling you. I think we lost Rich. He'll call back in just a second. Yeah, he dropped his call. He had some bad signal there sometimes, but I'm for. You know, look, I'm for veterans getting jobs as school resource officers. But the first thing that you hear, and here's the other problem that you run into in the veterans community, is that there is a resentment towards veterans, you know, having anything to do with security or law enforcement. Believe it or not, it's true. And what you see is you see a, you know, sometimes veterans are – you know, would do great in these jobs, but everybody's so, well, PTSD and, oh, my God, and they're just, you know, they're trained to kill. And, yes.
Well, that's exactly what you want.
Because if that guy comes in, I'm telling you, they're going to find something to kill person.
Okay. Here's the deal. Okay. Anybody who's been in combat, their first time under fire will hesitate to pull the trigger. After that, they never have a problem hesitating again. Is that correct, James?
That's correct.
So you've got a combat vet who's seen action, has pulled the trigger. You put him in a school, there will be no hesitation. And he's trained for target analysis. He's trained to you know, quickly identify the threat and threat rounds downrange quickly, okay, without hesitation. But here's the thing. I was arguing with my uncle before I got cut off, bad reception, and I'm sitting outside. So my uncle is a football coach. You follow Oklahoma. And he's like, no. And when everybody says we should not arm teachers, they're thinking of the teacher who has no experience with this whatsoever. Yeah. I'm going, I used to be a sub in Oklahoma, and I knew Vietnam vets. I knew there was an art teacher who was a former Green Beret. There was a lot of veterans teaching. And I'm like, those are the people I'm talking about. I'm one of them. Look, I just spent 2 months teaching history in a Christian school, okay? So if you're sitting there going like, who it is that you need to arm the people who are trained with those weapons, okay? Yes, and it makes perfect sense. Or hire them. So yes, there is no gun law short of confiscating. Go through and look at the weapons that were used. Look at the frequency. Studies have shown it that there is no law that will prevent these shootings. What if you ban? If you were to confiscate all the AR-15s, they just kill them with other weapons. You know, if you start backtracking.
Sure.
The most common weapon will be the pistol. The pistol. And if you look at the Virginia Tech shooting, what was it? What was the weapon this guy used? He did not have an assault weapon. He had pistols, okay? You go back to 1966, what was the weapon of choice? Hunting rifles, okay? Standoff distance. So we are not addressing what the real problem is, and that's what I want to get to. So what happened after 2004? Why, when you look at the list, there is this increase of mass school shootings
Sure.
And the weapon is not always an assault weapon.
Yeah,
so
you know,
something
that,
else.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, heck, they could do it with a hammer. You know what I mean? They could kill people with hammers. They can kill people with, you know, with a machete. I mean, they could do a lot of damage.
Oh gosh, I wasn't sent. Well, in my 5 months in Trujillo, Honduras, we had two killings with machetes. One guy went on a rampage. It was a festival. There's dancing in the streets. We call him the Mad Machetero. He just, you know, you talking about mass
mm-hmm.
shooter. This guy went through and just started chopping people up with his machete. Okay, now gun control advocates will say, but the knives and the machetes do not kill as many people as the guns do. Yeah. That's probably correct, but here's the problem. We're not Europeans. We are not used to be subjugated. That's us and Europeans. They're used to following orders. They're used to subjugating themselves to a king and rulers, aristocracy. We're not that way. We bought our freedom with guns, and
sure.
we still believe that.
Well,
okay?
Here's the other thing. It's like, why would nobody want to secure the schools? That's what I want to know. Why is the Democrat Party and the left so against money?
You have to choose.
Let's think about this. How many, you know, we talked about, look, remember when the Neighborhood Watch program was so big?
Yeah.
Why don't they develop a school watch program? You know, where parents,
well, you know, there's,
you know what I mean?
You know, that's an idea, because there's probably some old vets like me. They're sitting there like, okay, you want me to walk around the school armed to the teeth? Yeah, I'll do that, because it was a hell of a lot easier than teaching.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Oh, God, the hours I put in to prepare for every class,
just to walk around
the campus armed, yeah, I'd do that.
But, you know, Rich, I mean, it's like a brave person with a taser that shoots the taser darts could have probably stopped this kid before he went on the ramp.
Well, you know.
What I'm saying is there was nobody there to stop.
You know, I know everybody doesn't like the saying, but it takes a good man with a gun to stop an evil man with a gun.
Well, here in
but
West Virginia, you had a good woman with a gun at a party, and a guy drove by and started shooting at a bunch of kids, and she pulled her pistol out and shot him deader than hell about two nights ago. Career criminal, doing a drive-by shooting, and he got shot. And he got killed by a woman with a concealed pistol. Good for her.
Yep.
Probably saved a bunch
of
kids.
And that will never make the news.
Today.
That will never make the news, okay?
It's made it around here, but you're right. You're right. Everybody's
going
to
track. No, guns are evil. Again, there is an agenda from the left, and the media is
they'll probably want to. Well, they'll probably want to burn down the city or build a monument.
But anyway, here's the thing we got to get to, and I think what we got, we still have 45 minutes left in this show.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question the rest of the world is asking is, why are there so many school shootings? Now, what I've addressed is, the only way you can stop school shooting, away all the guns, and that ain't going to happen. And in fact, let me point something else out. Since the rioting, thank you BLM, since the burning and the assault on, you know, rural neighborhoods, there has been a significant increase in first-time gun owners. And here's, because I have a friend who he has his FFL, and he's a gunsmith, and people buy their, you can order an assault weapon through the internet. You can buy an assault weapon on the internet, but you have to have it shipped to someone with an FFL to pick it up, and you have to go through all the background checks. And get this, so you know the wait list for the handgun So even though you go in there, it is like, okay, you ordered it so many days before the gun gets shipped to the guy with the FFL. So you've exceeded that wait. But no, that wait time doesn't begin until you go in there and you fill out the paperwork. And so what my friends have told me who sell guns is that all these people who are first-time gun buyers come in there and like, what do you mean I got to do this? What do you mean I got to do this? We thought it was easy to buy a gun. They're like, all these first-time gun owner buyers have realized there are too many regulations right now. So all you people out there, we need more gun control. We need more. No, it doesn't work. And all you do is you make it an inconvenience for law-abiding citizens. All right, like mandatory background check. Okay, so, I mean, I used to go to the flea market over here in Gloucester, and guys are selling guns all the time, all right? Good old boys, that's how I grew up, all right? Then all of a sudden, Virginia passes this law. Now we can't do that, all right? The problem, now we got to go to someone with an FFL, and we got to pay the money to him to make the transaction. What? Now, I would be all for, see, it's about convenience. Now, when they talk to gun show loophole, well, they fixed that. Because what happened is the gun show loophole was that, like for me, so I want to get rid of one of my guns. So I'll go to a gun show. I don't have to set up a table. I'll just walk around with the gun over my shoulder, and I'll have a little price tag on it. And people walk it. Have you bought guns that way?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Because it's cheaper. It's cheaper. You know, you go to the table, and you're paying premium price. But the guy walking around getting rid of the things he's selling to get a discount. So the thing is, that's the gun show loophole. I'm not a gun dealer, so I don't need the FFL, and we don't do the background check. But what happened was they set up table where you just there to do background check. So the guy walks up and says, I want to buy your rifle. Like, great, let's go over here to this table, and you type in your data. It takes 15 minutes, and you pop up clean, boom, here it is. We make the transaction. We made it convenient. But now anybody trying to make some kind of transaction, somebody's going, if I'm going to sell one of my guns to somebody, we have to go to a gun dealer. This ain't going to protect anybody. All right, you know, the people we deal with are not criminals. They're collectors. They're friends and stuff like that. What my friends are telling me who have the FFLs is you're not going to get any more gun control passed because there's a whole lot more people out there owning guns than there were before. Thank you to the summer of love. Okay.
Yeah.
The summer of love. There are a lot of first time gun buyers, and they have realized we have got too many regulations.
Rich, I'm going to tell
you something. For the people who don't own guns, you don't think there's enough. For the people who are buying, you realize there's too much. But that's not the problem. And read the history of gun shooting, school shootings, they will kill you with whatever weapon they can get.
Exactly.
Okay?
It's not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a mental. It's a mental health issue, and I believe that we are in a godless society that, you know, nobody has – huh? What's that?
No, that's what I'm really getting at.
Yeah, I mean,
we live in a godless society.
Absolutely.
We live in – all right, here's the deal. And that's – so if you ask the question, why? Everybody wants – the easy answer is guns. It's guns is the reason. No.
Yeah.
It's evil. It's evil. But you know why we can't have that discussion?
Oh, yeah.
The majority of Americans do not believe in God. Now, that doesn't mean they deny the existence. They just don't know God.
Yeah.
I mean, I raised my kids to go to church. Neither one of them believes in God anymore. They didn't get it from my teaching. They got it from society. Now, my daughter is becoming spiritual in other things, okay? I mean, she's going through the experimental, but she's now looking at there's other things out there, but it may not be what the church taught and stuff like that. But the thing is, if you see, you look at what has changed in America. We have removed God. We first removed God from the schools. I mean, we punish for leading their players in a school prayer.
Oh, no, yeah, fire them and humiliate
them. I mean, we're not talking about I don't believe in God, but it's like, no, because I don't believe in God, you can't publicly worship God. Okay? So we are becoming a godless society. Now, here's the deal. So if there is no God, is there evil? That's the question,
evil.
James.
Yeah, well, there is no God, there's nothing but evil. You know, just tell you that.
No, James, there's nothing. Right and wrong are relative. Okay? AOC, I love her quote. When you are morally right, when you know you're morally right. The question is, what's your moral compass? Okay, there's no God, James, there's no God. There's no sex. There's no gender. What is the definition of male or female today? It has nothing to do with science or biology. The definition of gender is how you feel.
That's just crazy.
What's the definition of right and wrong? There is no evil. You have no God. There's no good. There's no evil. What determines or wrong? There's no moral compass. See, here's the issue. What determines your, okay, when you say the facts don't matter when you know you're morally right, what's your moral compass? The thing is, there are a lot of problems with religions. Religions can go a little too far, but here is the fundamental fact of religions. All societies have had religions. They believe that kid that went in there and shot all those people did not believe in God. That's an assumption I'm going to make. That's because he did not believe there's a punishment for what he did. And let's get to this. Okay. So here's your chance to quote some scripture. What did Jesus say about harming the children?
You just as well tie a millstone around your neck and be cast into the deepest depths of the ocean.
Why did he say that? They're trying to keep the children. And he embraced the children. He said, bring them to me. And he embraced them. And he said that. Okay?
Yeah.
He made a lot of statements about children, but that one's the one that resonates the most. Why did he say that?
Well, he wanted to let everybody know that was a very serious to harm the hair on one of these little ones, you know.
In other words, the worst sin you could commit is to injure an innocent child. According to Jesus, his statements. Are you in agreement with that? The worst possible sin is to harm an innocent child.
Yes, I would agree.
So why do we have an increase of people wanting to kill innocent children?
Well,
is that not evil?
It's evil. It is. It's 100% evil.
Yes,
I think the atheist would agree with that.
If there's no God, there's no evil. There's no God, there's no reward, there's no punishment. When you die, it's over. So if you go in and you kill children, can name for yourself. That will get people's attention. What are they trying to achieve? Or are they really given in to evil? Because we have removed God, evil has taken over. And so you sit there and you're going like, how could God allow this to happen? Well, you don't believe in God. You have removed God. So the devil is gaining hold. It is the devil who is motivated. I mean, if you want to make your name for yourself, go kill someone that deserves to be killed. There's plenty of them out there. Okay? Yeah. There's plenty of assholes out there who deserve killing. But no, they prefer to kill the people Jesus said that that is the worst thing that could happen, is kill innocent children. Evil is, and see, the thing is, no one wants to address that. Well, I would say the right, the conservatives will address it, but the left doesn't, because the left does not believe in God. They don't want to accept God, because then if you accept God, abortion is murder.
Yeah.
Most of the arguments, most of the agendas they're pushing, if they accept that God exists, they're on the wrong side, okay? Nancy Pelosi's getting upset because some, bishop in California or priest is like, you can't take communion if you're for abortion because the church is against abortion. I'm like, it should be that way. Biden's pushing abortion. He should not be able to take communion, okay? Same with Nancy Pelosi. You can't say you're a devout Catholic and you want to murder innocent babies in the womb. Because if you study, if you go and look up, listen to, go through all the near-death experiences, some of them will tell you they saw aborted babies in there. A baby in the womb has a soul. We don't know at what point they have a soul, but they have a soul. And when you abort the baby, it goes to heaven. You have denied that child the opportunity to fulfill its purpose in life, okay? And so we have to, the left has to remove God. And we have a society that has become material and removed God. There is the problem. How do you solve this?
Well,
people who want to go into schools and kill innocent children are evil, have given in to evil. But there is no evil if there is no God. There's your problem.
Well,
the solution is there.
Because there is, because there's the assumption that, you know, there is no punishment for your wicked
way. Yeah, there's no punishment in the end. I mean, you know, that get based on what I believe and study. You go and you listen to, go on YouTube and type in NDE and listen to these people. Look up the one, NDE hell. Look up NDE hell. Listen to the people who went to hell. That kid, that any of those people who went in to shoot those children and they get killed, they do not have time to repent. They are going straight to hell. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And you know, like I told you about the old man that I met that was a kid and watched that hanging. Let me tell you, he said, and he told me, he says, I'll never forget the look on his face. I'll never forget how he was trembling, you know, and how he was, trying to speak and he couldn't speak. He was terrified. And the thing that he spoke about was his quivering and pissing down his leg.
Hey,
when he was hanging to death.
Hanging in the guillotine are probably two of the worst deaths. If I had to be executed, I wouldn't be killed by a firing squad. I want to go. And I don't want to hood. I want to stand there and watch those guys pull the trigger. Okay, I live by the gun. I want to die by the gun. Lethal injection, you know, just laying there and waiting to, like, no, I want to hear a bang before I go.
Yeah,
okay? But hanging is, that's a horrible way to die.
Oh, it was. Okay. I mean, but, you know, but like he told me that it was, you know, it was a deterrent.
It was public hangings. No, that was the whole point. In the old days, there were public hangings. Public
hangings. That would have been like in the
1990s.
That was in the early 1980s, and I bet that old man was 98, almost 100 years old, you know. So, you know, it had a profound effect. And you know, whenever I've never forgot that story, obviously.
Yeah, James, but that isn't going to – no, hangings is not going to stop these school shootings, because most of these school shooters expect to die. They'll kill themselves in the end. Okay? They're expecting to go out in a blaze of glory. So that is not a deterrent.
Yeah, the only, I'm telling you, you got to have somebody there to prevent it. I mean,
yeah.
Again, I go back
right,
to school
right.
Security. You know?
Right, right. That is important. That is important. Okay.
Because, I mean,
and
come on,
you
man.
Need
I mean,
to have, you know, it didn't work in Florida. Okay. Because the police officer was a coward. That one was a coward. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
go to jail for that.
Those police officers who responded to that on that campus in Texas, they got shot. So they're not cowards. Okay. There are reasons why they didn't. Try to breach it. They had already been shot. Okay. Now, combat veteran, I
so
think
would
it's
I,
been a different
I'd already
story.
Been shot too, Rich. But
yeah,
you know what?
That's right. I think all of us would have gone like, I'm going to take this bullet because we were trained that way. We
yeah,
were trained to accept the fact we're going to die. Okay?
I have a hard time understanding cowardice. I have a hard time with understanding someone putting their life's value above the value of other lives. I have a hard time understanding. I've never thought
You
want to
know what,
way.
James? No. You want – all right, here's a movie you need to go watch, The Road to Cordura with great actor.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up here real quick.
Road to Cordura. It takes place – It's based on the Mexican punitive expedition against Pancho Villa. And I'm trying to remember the actor, big time Western. Gary Cooper. That's who it is. Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
Plays the role
well.
That's well,
it
right.
says
okay.
they came to Cordoba.
Oh, they came to Cordoba. Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the premise.
Gary
so
Cooper. Yeah.
This major. Gary Cooper is an old major, and he is assigned. So they have this attack on Cordura, and he is assigned to identify heroism. And because the only medal they have is the Medal of Honor, so he's got it, and he identifies, I think, like would represent the Medal of Honor. But the previous guy who was approved for the Medal of Honor had already been killed. And so he has to take those guys out of the line, and he can't tell them why they're on this detail, because he doesn't want them to know that they have been recognized as heroes. And he wants to interview each one of them to try to understand what they went through, what they were thinking when they performed that act of heroism. And then it comes out, the reason he's trying to study this is because he was the coward that when Pancho Villa raided New Mexico,
uh-huh.
and he described it. You know, he says he jumped in the ditch for cover, but he didn't get out. That was the problem. Yes, the act of getting into that ditch, but he describes as like why he couldn't get out. And so this whole movie is a study of heroism and cowardice. These men who are being put in for the Medal of Honor become despicable. And Gary Cooper, who's the coward, becomes, you know, he has the higher values. It's a contradiction. And so if you want to understand the cowardice, watch that movie, Heroism and Cowardism. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's my plug for the movie. Great movie. In fact, I gave it to my brother, and he took that when he. They came to Cordoba. He was a company gunny, 1st Battalion, 1st Regiment, 1st Marine Division, and went into Desert Storm, and they were taking all these videos. He said that was one he was taking with him because he wanted all his soldiers, all his Marines. Evil, though. It's evil. The problem is evil. You can't pass a law to abolish evil. You can't pass a law to prevent evil. Evil is going to kill children any way it can. No ban.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you ban assault weapons, they'll just revert to pistols and shotguns, which many mass shootings took place. You ban those, they'll go to high-powered rifles. Okay? Go back down the trail. In other words, the only way you can ban mass school shootings is to confiscate all guns. The assault weapons ban did not reduce any violent crimes. Okay? It didn't work. Only one study, of all the studies that took place afterwards, only one said it did have an effect. And it was a very small effect. All right? But the others contradicted it. The majority of them contradicted it. How do you regulate evil? How do you remove evil? How do you remove evil?
Well, the same way you drive out the darkness. You got to turn on the light, buddy. You got to expose people.
Well, the problem is, James, you can't do that. Because if you bring God back into the question, abortion is murder. And the left, the Democrats can't Manchin can embrace it. Okay, there's some that can, but the majority of them can't.
It definitely lends credence, to the fact that there are still some people that, you know, that are in that party that I think are fighting very hard to regain the semblance that it used to be. Because there was a time when they didn't believe in that stuff. You know, they didn't support all that nonsense. You know, now it's infiltrated with socialists and communists. You know, I mean, it's just the truth, man.
It's an agenda. No, it's an agenda. If you want to know that it's an agenda, I just challenge you. Go to every Democratic congressman or senators, and when you look at the issues, read them. They're going to read almost exactly the same. It's cut and paste. Look at their policy, their agenda on Second Amendment. It's cut and paste. The party gives it to them. They have to embrace it. Okay?
Well, I mean, you know, some of them don't fully embrace it, but those
that's true.
Don't.
Thank God for West Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin. Okay.
Yeah, he's an anomaly.
That's why we're not going. That's why there will be no gun control. There'll be talk, okay, but there will be no gun control.
Well, they're trying to overthrow him right now. There's a
who's trying to overthrow him? Who, the left?
Both. Who? He's got the left and the right against him.
Is anybody in left? Is West Virginia trying to overthrow him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. They'd, you know, look, the Republican Party would rather have a Republican in there than a Democrat. So they're.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. But Joe Manchin votes like a Republican. Why would they want to get rid of him? Actually, I think they want him to switch sides. I think I've heard talk that the Democratic Party is wanting to kick him out because he votes too much like the Republicans kicked him out. Joe Lieberman became an independent because he too voted his mind. So the Democratic Party kicked him out. So he ran as an independent and won. Okay. Yeah. He had the name.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the issue here is, look, there is no law. There is no gun control law. Do your homework, folks. Go type in list of school shootings and read it. Go through and read it. Look at the weapons they used. All right? They will kill with whatever weapon they have available. So the only way you can prevent school shootings is to confiscate all weapons, okay? The assault weapons ban had no effect. There's no law. This is evil. This is the worst kind of evil. And the problem is that the left does not want to accept the fact that God exists. And if God exists, evil exists. There is no moral compass. Morality, right and wrong, is what you think it is. Your gender is what you think it is. How do you feel? Not what science or biology says. X and Y chromosomes don't matter anymore. That a fetus is just tissue in a woman's body. No soul in there. There is no life, even though it has functioning organs and a beating heart. It is not a living thing because there is no God. And without God, we're going to continue to have more school shootings. Accept that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's there's definitely, when you have that, you know, you have an absence of God, you know, that's what generally happens. And I'm going to tell you something else. The fact that nobody wants to address the root cause and the root issue tells me that, you know, this agenda-driven group, and the right has their answers to it too, you know, because, you know, I do agree that we have to do, I mean, look, doing a, you know, whatever the universal background check thing is, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, look, I don't care to have a background check done. I'm not hiding anything. You know what I mean? And for me, I think it's just, I don't know, why would we argue about having a background check and having a system that actually looks beyond just your, you know, cursory look on a NICSI system? You know,
because
I don't have a problem
with that. Already explained it to you. It doesn't, look, this kid legally bought a gun. He went through the background check. It didn't catch anything. It doesn't do anything. It makes you feel like you've just opted something, okay? Now, keep in mind, the Texas church shooter, there's some people who legally shouldn't have bought guns and slipped through the system because their records didn't show up. Because that guy was discharged from the Air Force, and I think what he was discharged for, court-martialed, would have prevented him from being able to buy a gun. The system failed, okay? Universal background checks are not preventing school shootings. These people, as you said, they're either one thing, they're either mentally unstable or they are evil.
Yeah, well.
How does none of the background checks would catch that?
Mental health treatment should be reported. You know, I mean, I know everybody wants to have their privacy, but some of this especially if there is a, you know, they're, you know, if they're on a controlled substance or whatever.
All right, here's one for you. All right, red flags. So a guy walks in and buys an AR-15 and 365 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
Okay. Now, I can tell you, people are going to ask, why would someone want to buy that much ammunition? Well, you know, if there's a, I will tell you, after Sandy Hook, there was a run on 5.56. There was a run on, you know, 5.56. Want to know why? Because when Congress is talking about going after the ammo, there was a run on. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's like 25 cents a round. Now it's like 50 cents to a dollar. You know, the other reason why the AR-15 is so popular, because the ammo was cheap. It was cheap. It's a 22. It was cheap. If you're going to buy, you know, like 45 ammunition, it's at least a dollar a round. Most ammo is a dollar a round. The AR-15 ammo, the 5.56, was cheap. It used to be 25 cents. Now it's mostly 50 cents, okay, for recreational shooting. So because Sandy Hook, there was a run on ammo. That's why. But there was no run. You know, so when you could sit there and going like, hey, it's like if somebody make, the FBI has a system that somebody makes purchase with cash over a certain amount, they pop up on the radar screen. Well, maybe the same thing should happen with Amazon. They're going like, somebody makes a purchase of more than, let's say 200 rounds of ammunition, they pop up on the radar screen. And you sit there and you look at him and you're going like, a guy like me who's a collector and a recreational shooter, you know, stable, like, eh, so what? They watch, they can come over and talk to me and like, yeah, he's cool. Boom. You know, why are you buying all the ammo? Well, because the price is going up and I want to buy it while it's cheap. Well, that makes sense. But nobody walked up to talk to this guy. So there's something you should do. You should have, you know, no, not make, not, don't make a law that says you can't buy more than this much ammo at a time. No, because when all of a sudden there's a panic and they think the price is going to go up, everybody's going to buy all the ammo while it's still cheap. It's like stock, right? What you need is you need. So instead, what that kid's going to do is he's going to buy it a little bit at a time. So what we'll do, we'll stockpile it, all right? Slowly. Uh-huh. And that's what I've done, you know, is I load up on 5.56 ammunition. Well, you know, every now and then I just grab some more. I've got plenty. I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse. Okay?
You know, I'm a big advocate for armed security in these schools. I really am. I'm a big advocate for, you know, putting the gate around the schools to keeping the bad people out. You know, I'm for
yep.
that. You know, I just can't understand. You know, I mean, honestly, Rich, I just can't understand why the left wants to say that anybody that says that's crazy. You know, I mean, look, people are attacked for
agenda,
saying
James, you're missing the point. They have an agenda to ban guns.
The agenda must be to kill more
protecting,
kids.
No, it is not in there. It doesn't support their agenda to protect it. You've got to understand. These kids are political tools.
Terrible.
The right and the left. They're political tools.
Need to vote them all out.
The right is not, emotionally they can say, you know, get upset and stuff like that. They really don't care. What they really care about is getting elected, getting their agenda pushed through, the agenda that their party has told them. So if the party says, we want to ban guns, so the problem is the gun, not school security. So the right is going, we want to protect gun rights, so we don't want any gun. We don't want any reasonable gun legislation because we're going to push this agenda.
Yeah.
Tell you everybody, I'm confident nothing's going to get done. Nothing. Owners out there, your guns are secure. Nothing is going to get done. There's going to be talk. The Republicans are going to play the delaying game till everybody calms down, and then the Democrats know you got to move if you want gun legislation. You've got to move while emotions are high. And listen, we've heard it, guys, going just like you went on a rant of listening to the left going rant. Now's the time for it. We got to do something.
Well,
because
you know,
and they're doing this because we feel. Here's
a
the thing.
Of reality. You know, it was a sermon.
Say again? What?
No, that wasn't a rant. That was a sermon that America needed, and America needs that kind of sermon. They
yeah,
need to
but
understand
there's but there's things
reality.
You said I disagree with, James. I was texting you during
what?
It.
What?
There's things
what,
you're saying I disagree with. You're speaking from emotion.
It's not emotion. It's not emotion to quote Scripture and to say that we should fear
no,
God.
No. The Scripture. It wasn't the Scripture. There were some things I'd have to go through my text saying.
Yeah, I mean the response of the police and stuff. I don't defend cowardice at all.
Yeah.
You know, they can call it whatever they want. It ultimately
call any one of those police officers a coward.
Well,
all right, especially the two officers that got wounded.
Well,
and still stayed there. They didn't retreat.
Still,
they didn't enter they didn't break into the room. The room was barricaded, but they stayed there. All right. Now, my question is, how come every classroom I've ever been in has a room, has windows. How come someone didn't go around to the other side and shoot, try to spot him and shoot him through the window? That's my question. Because, you know, the school we conducted a active shooter drill while I was teaching. All right. And the thing I had to look around, I'm going, the problem, you know, everybody was told where all the students knew where they were supposed to go, you know, but the problem is I got these windows. And if the active shooter goes around the building and starts looking in the windows, he can start shooting people. Okay. And I'm like, why didn't the cops do that? Yeah, you've got the door secure. Send someone around the other side and shoot through the window. Get this guy.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, I don't know what the layout of the building was. But anyway, James, I think we hit the point I wanted to get across. There is no gun control law that will prevent another school shooting. Not one. Short of confiscating all firearms, which will
That will not even work. That will not even work. Because I'm telling you,
they'll be killing. No, I didn't say killing. I said school
shooting. No, I mean, but the criminals are not going to get their guns confiscated. I'm just telling you.
We all know that.
You know, when they catch somebody that is a felon with a firearm, they need to do hard time for that. You know, if you're not supposed to have
true.
One.
That's true.
And
James. Okay, I'm going to play the devil's advocate again. James, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. We need a society of forgiveness and redemption rather than punishment. Now, that's why we have all the problems in California and New York City, okay? Because we got to be a forgiving. You're a Christian.
We need to be a forgiving
society.
We are forgiving.
We need to be a forgiving society. We need to give everybody a second chance. Okay?
Well, but we need to rehabilitate criminals.
We need to rehabilitate criminals rather than punish them.
Yeah, well, yeah, listen, I studied that. I took criminal justice. One of my first college ventures was criminal justice, and I can tell you that recidivism and, you know, trying to rehabilitate criminals has failed. You know, it failed just for a couple of reasons.
No, James, no. It was working in California and New York City.
Yeah.
It's working well in New York and California, okay?
Well, hey, look, man, just 3 years ago, we were on the subway almost 4 years ago. Me and my wife and two kids rode the subway during rush hour, and it was no problem. My God,
I wouldn't go down into the subway. James,
yeah.
When I went to West Point, 75 to 79, so I went to New York City during the 70s. I knew how bad it was. I remember taking my family to New York after I got this job. Okay, so it would have been sometime in the last 20 years or whatever, 15, 20 years. And I remember walking through areas and I'm going at night. Back when I was in school, we couldn't be walking around here.
You were in New York like 4 years ago with your daughter, and you didn't experience. I mean, I was there too. You know, during
no, but
I mean,
I, but my point was the
New
first
York
time
in the last 3 years.
No, I know, but I'm talking about the first time I took my family up. The last time I went up there, it was Mike getting me around all the neat places.
I remember
the first time I took them up there to show them around, and I'm going, I'm remembering the 70s. I'm going, we couldn't be walking here like we are.
Yeah.
This was dangerous. We couldn't be doing this. And the thing is, New York had really changed. But It is not, my daughter's living in Miami now. She is part of the Exodus. Every now and then she goes back to New York City because that's the head, you know, the Mayor Adams is trying to get everybody to come back. The headquarters are there. The offices are there. But everybody has allowed their workers to work remote. And so my daughter lives in New York, in Miami, okay, where now she can own an AR-15.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true. But I'll tell you, well, we're down to about the last 2 minutes, Rich. So, you know, let's close it out, old buddy. Hold on a second. I'm looking at something else here. All right, folks. So thanks for listening to us on Continue Mission. We had a pretty lively discussion tonight. It didn't get foul or didn't, you know, go down to any depths or anything. But the reality is this, that we have violence in America. We got to figure out how to deal with it. You know, taking away everybody's guns. But I do think that we need to have a serious discussion about securing schools and putting some of these combat veterans on patrol in some of these schools. You know, give them a job. And you know what? They make pretty good, they'll make pretty good substitute teachers whenever somebody's not there. They make good football coaches and baseball coaches as well, too. So, you know, give them a job and let's move forward, America. Let's do something good and right, love of God. Remember to keep Father Michael in your prayers and your thoughts and prayers and those families that lost their children in that senseless rampage by that frickin' nut. You know, hopefully this will never happen again in our history. But if it does, let's hope that there's some good guy with a gun that's there waiting to stop that person. That's all I can say. So, all right, folks, have a good night. God bless you all, and have a good weekend. And remember, it's Memorial Day weekend, folks. I know a lot of you are going to be celebrating, but let's remember what the true meaning of that is. It's to remember our military fallen. God bless, and good night.